Back when I was in college in the late 60s, the man that had been my high school Sunday school teacher went to a conference at Glen Eyrie, Navigator headquarters. Went to the conference there, was excited about the things that he was exposed to there at the conference, and he came back to Elk City and got my wife and I and two other couples together and began to challenge us with some things, some Bible study, studies in Christian living, and Scripture memory, the beginning with Christ. And in those days, the beginning with Christ had a little address at the back of it. There's only four verses. And you could send off for the TMS. And you got the TMS in installments. You took a little test on the honor system and would fill out the little test and send it into the Glen, and they'd mail you the next installment. You didn't get the whole thing at one time. You couldn't get it all at one time, as far as I knew. It wasn't available in bookstores that I knew of at that time. And so I began memorizing Scripture. I was 21 years old and had done a lot of memory work in the area of mathematics and enjoyed that, and my mind was a lot younger and a lot sharper than it is today. And I memorized a verse a day for quite a while. And it was something that came relatively easily to me, and it was structured, and I liked that. I was working at a shoe store. I worked my way through college selling shoes. And I had about 6 blocks to walk to work. And I would use that time to review and memorize, walking back and forth to work. I'd try to have enough time to get there, but I didn't hurry. And I would just kind of leisurely walk to work and review my verses and work on my verses. And that was my time to work on my verses. And I memorized the beginning with Christ and the old TMS. The topical memory system is a memory system that the navigators developed as early as the 50s, I think, probably. Fred, is that right?
You got the MP3 with Doss talking about it. You're going to love it.
Okay, that's right, isn't it? The early 50s? They had previously used the Moody Memorize the Word Bible memory system, which still I think is available. I think some of the guys in Wichita use that. And it was 150 verses, I believe. And so they had cut it down to 108 verses and had their own system of topics of the wheel and the gospel, which would fit into the bridge illustration. And I heard Doss's testimony on tape about how he came to Christ, how he had gone to a youth meeting as a young man, in trouble with the law, actually, and had gone to a youth meeting kind of as a probationary arrangement. And the two people that were leading the two adults that were responsible for the youth department had been two of his school teachers in school. And they had set up this contest for the youth group. And they had selected, I believe it was 10 verses on the gospel. And so he joined the good-looking girl's side instead of the guy's side. Figured that was the right thing to do. And memorized those verses. And when he came back, he was the only person in the youth group that had memorized all 10 verses. And he was just a pagan from the outside coming in, you know, but he was competitive. Yeah, this was Doss. And he was competitive. And so his competitive nature drove him to memorize the verses. And so they figured, well, if anybody memorizes those 10, we'll have another 10 on the Christian life ready for them. And it was those verses and he memorized those 10. And again, he was the only one that memorized all 10. And they won the contest. But driving around on his forklift in the lumberyard, the Word of God began to impact his life. And one day, according to his testimony, his own words, he stopped and prayed, John 1:12, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name." Didn't really know what that meant, but claimed the promise of God and was born again. And just that whole concept in Doss's fervent zeal for Scripture memory really was something that reached out and grabbed my heart. And so I began to memorize Scripture at that time. And I've done several things over the years in terms of Scripture memory. I would like to say, as I stand here before you, that I've been consistent every year for the last 35 years to memorize Scripture, but I haven't. There was about a 10-year window in there, which I call the lean years, where I was doing some things with Master Life and I was doing some things with Evangelism Explosion. I hadn't quit memorizing. It's just that I quit reviewing all the ones I had memorized before. And that's one of the keys to Scripture memory, is to keep reviewing. And so I met John Crawford about 12 or 15 years ago. And John had been through a period very much like what I just described as far as a lean period. Talks about a time in his life when he was just reading cards, really. Not memorizing verses, just reading cards. And was around some guys that really challenged him in terms of being sharp in Scripture memory. Gene Moore was one of those guys. And so he set out to reclaim and really have committed to memory and really current on the verses that he said that he knew. And so he shared that concept with me. And so I went back and began to go through those verses that I memorized years ago and began to reclaim them. And again, I reclaimed them at one a day for a while, but you reach a saturation point, and so I'd slow down. And today, I try to memorize a verse a week and keep systematically reviewing all the verses that I have committed to memory at one time that are on cards. And so that's where I'm coming from. Where I want to start today, as far as what we're going to do in the Word and the things we're going to talk about, if you have your program with you, you might want to turn to page 26, and you have a handout there. And I really wrote my outline without the program here, but it's the same five verses that are on the hand there. And several of the workshops that I've been to have mentioned the hand in terms of getting the Word of God into our life. So I just want to review that with you, because really what we're going to talk about today is just one aspect of the intake of the Word. Of all the verses that I've seen and that I've really paid attention to, I still like what they have here, Romans 10:17 on hearing. Can anyone quote Romans 10:17 for us? Anybody?
Well,
I understand that. Usually in a group like this, there are some people that's been added a while too. Anybody know Romans 10:17?
It comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.
Thank you. That's right. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And studies show that we remember about 10% of what we hear. So that's not a very good ratio of what we hear. That doesn't mean you ought to quit going to church and listen to your pastor, but it means that it's probably not the most efficient method of retention of what we hear. It's good exposure. And there's some real positive things we do with that, and we'll talk about some of those a little bit later in the workshop. And then that's the little finger, as it's illustrated there on page 26. And then reading the Word of God. Anybody know Revelation 1:3? That's pretty close.
Yeah.
Okay?
I'm a testimony.
Okay? Revelation 1:3, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near. And actually, the retention rate on reading, except for those that have a photographic memory, is not much better than it is on hearing. 10-15% is about what we remember of what we read. And then we move on down on around the hand to the index finger. Acts 17:11, the study verse. Anybody know Acts 17:11?
Even more noble than those in Thessalonica, that they received the word with all readiness in mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so.
Thank you, Fred. And that verse is about study, about diligently searching out what the Scriptures has to say. And personally, my definition of study is that you have to have a pencil or a pen and paper or you're not studying, you're just reading. You have to be recording thoughts on a piece of paper before it really becomes study. And we do a little better as far as retention from study. We retain about 20 to 35% of what we study. Of course, I guess if we're studying for an exam in school, we hope that we retain more than that or we'll be taking the course over again. But that's what the statistics show. And then we come to the pointer finger, Psalm 119, 9 and 11, which is one of the verses in the Beginning with Christ booklet. Anybody know Psalm 119, 9 and 11?
How can young man keep his way pure, living according to your word? Hidden your word in my heart, and my not sin against
you. That's right. Talks about hiding the word of God in our heart. And of course, the word that's memorized, if it's really memorized, we're going to retain 100% of what we've truly memorized. And then the last one on the hand here is meditation. And as is illustrated in on the page there, you have to have the thumb to make the hand very useful in terms of holding something. You have to have the thumb to get a grasp on it. And so meditation is that thing, that aspect, that helps us to get a grasp on the Word of God, regardless of which method or methods we're using. Anyone quote Psalm 1, 2, and 3 for us this morning, this afternoon? Psalm 1, 2, and 3. Anybody?
In His law, He meditates both day and night. Be like a
tree planted by the river of the water, bringing forth its fruit in season,
wherever it is to prosper.
All right. Psalms 1, 2, and 3. The importance of meditation. Day and night, the Scripture says here. And that's the neat thing about Scripture memory. It's when you have it committed to memory, it doesn't matter whether you're driving down the road or walking or almost asleep, going to sleep in bed, or wherever you are, sitting in church. It doesn't matter where you are. You can meditate and think about the Scriptures as the Holy Spirit brings it to mind and the circumstances and incidents bring it to mind. You can be thinking about what the Scripture has to say about that particular thing. Dawson Trotman is quoted as having said, "Nothing pays greater dividends for the time invested than writing God's Word on the tables of the heart." And I would have to say that I agree with that. That it probably pays the greatest dividends for the time invested. I would also say at the same time that it's probably one of those things that the enemy resists, creates the most disruption in our lives concerning. A time to review, a time to memorize, and the discipline and the diligence of staying at it and doing it. John Crawford says that whenever he started memorizing, he'd gone to Hawaii there to get the information from Downing, I think probably there at the Nav home. And the instructions were, here's the 150 verses, memorize a verse a day, and review all you know every day. And he made it for 75 days before he missed a day, missed a verse. And after he got back to some of the guys from the action that he was involved there in the South Pacific, most of the guys were really quite surprised that he made it that many days because he didn't have a buddy. He didn't have someone to help him with that and someone to hold him accountable and someone to hold his feet to the fire and keep him going at the process of Scripture memory. And that's really, really helpful. There aren't very many people that will be diligent in Scripture memory all by themselves. You really need somebody working with you. It may not be a Paul above you. It can even be a Timothy that you're helping. Or it can be a Silas that you're laboring alongside. But just somebody that has a common interest in Scripture memory and you're working on the project together. It really, really makes a difference. You know the difference it makes in doing just studying the Word as to whether or not you have a group that you're going to meet with. You know, most men don't want to be embarrassed in front of a group of men by being ill-prepared for a Bible study. So they'll set up, you know, 2 or 3 hours the night before into the wee hours of the morning and make sure they've got the thing done before they go. You know, we've all probably done that have done Bible study. And so Scripture memory is the same way. If you've got somebody that you're working with and you're working on Scripture memory, then that's one of those things that helps you be faithful to do it and keeps you at doing it. There are some things here that I want to share with you that's on your outline there at Roman numeral 2 that I got from Roy Robertson's book, The Timothy Principle. If you don't have a copy of The Timothy Principle, that might be something you want to pick up. The Timothy Principle by Roy Robertson. It probably has more of the basic concepts of discipleship in it for the size of book than any other single volume that I've ever read on discipleship. Lots of good ideas there. And these are three things that Roy shares in there. That is, that Scripture memory is commended. And the reference there that you might want to write on your outline there is Psalm 119:11. Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you. So it's commended as a hedge against sin, as a way to have victory over temptation and victory over sin, having the Word of God hidden in our heart. And then it's also commanded in Deuteronomy 6:6. Now, in all fairness, I need to say that it was commanded to Israel. Okay, to be fair to the context of the verse. Moses says, "And these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart." Now, actually, the Israelites had an advantage over us in terms of Scripture memory. They couldn't go down to the bookstore and buy a Bible. They couldn't even buy a scroll, most of it. So what they knew of the Scripture, they had to have memorized. So if that's your only way to get it, besides hearing somebody read it on occasion, then that may be an advantage. You know, you're up against the wall, and that's the only way you can do it. So we might be better off if it wasn't so plentiful today as far as committing Scripture to memory. And then the last thing that Roy shares there is that it's a blessing. Psalm 40, verse 8, "I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart." And I'd have to say that it really is a blessing. One of the things that has helped me the most is a kind of a one-line sentence that Helen Crawford shared with me a few years ago at the High Meadow Retreat Center that my wife and I were there with the Crawfords and some other couples. And Helen, if you know her, for those of you who may know her, is successful as in Scripture memory as any of the men that are at this conference. I think I can say that. She quotes Scripture often just in conversation, and you see her working on it, and she's real faithful in her review. And so we were getting a cup of coffee there in the kitchen, just the two of us on that particular occasion. I asked her, I said, "Helen, how is it that you are so successful in Scripture memory?" And she looked at me with those clear blue eyes, and she said, "You know, Mike, we have a lot of people in our home," and that's an understatement, it's like a motel. And she said, "And I may not always get my reading done." And I think she meant by that her daily Bible reading. But she said, I always do my verses. And you could just tell by the intensity in her voice and the look in her eye that she was serious. She always does her verses. And I think that's what it's mostly about, is a real commitment on our part to just do it. And there are some things that can help you do it, but I think there has to be a commitment as to what you're going to do. So I thought about that and prayed over that and decided I would make a change in my priorities that I'd never had before. My priority had been to have my quiet time in the morning before my day started. There were some guys in San Antonio when I was in San Antonio around the Navigators that had a little motto, "No Bible, no breakfast." And I've always been a big breakfast eater. And so I tried to live by that motto in terms of my quiet time, and been relatively successful at doing that. But I switched it after thinking about what Helen said. Now I review my verses first during the day. I get my Scripture memory done first. For me, my mind is better in the morning. It's better in the morning, than it's going to be any other time during the day. That's when it's the best. It's not that way for everybody. Some people are evening people, nighttime people. And I'm probably asleep by the time some of you might be at your best in the evening. I get up early and drive a bus and teach school, and so I'm at my best in the morning. And so I made that switch. And so that's what I do the first thing in the morning after I get the coffee pot started, is sit down and start to review my verses and try to get all that done in the morning. I want you guys to take your pencil there and your Bible and work through this section 3. We'll turn the tape off here and give you a few minutes. And I'm not sure reasons is the best title here. It might be benefits. It might be motivations. I'll give you a few minutes to work on that. Yesterday about noon, and Tanner's doing good. But that little baby's going to be hungry. He's going to wake Mama up when he's hungry and want to eat. And that's the way that we ought to be concerning the Word of God, especially when we've just come to know the Savior. But we still ought to have a hunger, and we still need food. We still need to be fed throughout the rest of our Christian life as well. Let me just back up to John 15:7. John 15:7 is my favorite verse on prayer. I like the condition of abiding in the Word and being in relationship to God as being the right setting for asking and receiving. When you think about that. If you're in right relationship with God, then the things that you're going to ask for are probably going to be more in keeping with yes answers than in any other situation. And so that's one of the reasons why I included that particular verse. What about Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? What did you do with that?
Guidance.
Someone quote that or read that for us. Okay. That's the verse they added to the beginning with Christ. That was an addition later on. And that's a great verse. There's a fellow right now that's business situation that I know. And that's one of the verses that I've been praying for him, that he would know how to respond and whether to stay or whether to get out and how to react and to the situation that he's in. I've been praying that for this guy for quite some time now. What about Psalm 1, 2, and 3? We did that one a while ago.
Meditation.
And Psalm 119, 9 and 11. Victory over sin. We did verse 11 a while ago. And Psalm 139, 23 and 24. Inner cleansing. Could be guidance. Inner cleansing. Someone knows Psalm 139, 23 and 24.
Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me.
That you have to be really bold there and pray that verse in sincerity and in honesty before God. And also hope that He doesn't show you everything at once. You know, and it seems to me that in most people's lives, He's prepared to do that. You know, one or two things at a time that God will reveal that we need to work on as we begin to seek God to cleanse, seek for God to cleanse us and reveal to us those things in our life that are not pleasing to Him, that are not glorifying Him, and they're not furthering the kingdom. What about Romans 1:16? Bible doctrine could be that. What else? Witnessing could be witnessing. Someone know Romans 1:16? Okay. Not being ashamed of the gospel. And I don't know about you, but that's one of those things I have to work at, that I'm conscious about being ready to share a word with someone concerning the gospel. When we lived in Virginia, One of the people that we were exposed to quite a bit there was Pat Robertson. And I don't agree with him on all of his theological points, but one of the illustrations that I have heard Pat use and heard him share the gospel quite clearly on any number of occasions, and the thought was that we ought to be like a running back. We ought to be looking for that hole and headed for that hole as soon as it opens, with the gospel. In our conversation, that ought to be our mentality, the mentality of a good running back. And I think that's a good illustration about how to do that. What about Romans 8, 9?
Holy Spirit.
Right. Someone know that one or read that one for me? That's a good verse in terms of a doctrinal position. In the scriptures than I am in mathematics. And for those of you that have studied mathematics recently, there's a lot to know if you're going to do geometry well. And there's a lot to know if you're going to do calculus well. And I'm still working on that commitment. I don't know where I am. I haven't tallied up. I don't want to be guilty of the sin that David committed of numbering things. So I don't know where I stand in terms of the scales there, whether if I were to write down all the geometry and algebra and calculus theorems and gentlemen, I find that of all the things that I do in terms of intake of the Word, that Scripture memory is the biggest battle. It's not all that hard because my parents trained me to do it, to get up and go to church. Sometimes it's hard to stay awake if I've been up too late the night before once I get there, but it's not too hard to get up and go. It's not even all that hard to study, to prepare, to teach a Sunday school lesson. But to be consistent in Scripture memory is a whole other matter. Another thing that I would mention there in terms of the battle there is that we need just to determine to win it by God's grace. And that's the way it'll be won, is by God's grace. This battle of being successful in Scripture memory, of continuing to do it. And then to pray as you go, trusting God for the victory. And I find that there is a huge difference in how my Scripture memory goes personally based on whether or not I'm praying as I go. It makes a huge difference in my own life as to how that goes. And then another thought on that is that we need to take each step with diligence and persistence. There are a couple things in my life that have been indicators and maybe foundational to just the overall concept of being disciplined. One is a rope. And the other is Scripture memory. There's just a huge correlation. Keep that from happening to us. Let's look at Matthew 4 for just a few minutes here. I think that the example of the Lord here is just one of those things that speaks volumes about the importance of the Word and how to deal with the enemy. This is from the New American Standard. Then Jesus led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he became hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy temple and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "On the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to... But we see here what most theologians believe are the primary... three primary areas of attack that Satan uses on everybody. In fact, some of them believe these are the only three. There aren't any others. And as we look at them, they're on, under Satan's strategy. On number one, we might look at verse 3. And the tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." So appealing to his fleshly, physical appetite. Sometimes we think about fleshly, physical appetite, we automatically think about sex. Well, this wasn't about sex, this was about hunger. About being hungry after all that period of time. So, that's one area of attack. And then the second one there is in verses 8 and 9 that I want to mention here. Those are out of order, I know, and there's a reason for that. I'll tell you in just a minute. The second one there that I want to talk about is in verses 8 and 9. "And again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, 'All the things I will give you if you fall down and worship me.'" So, appealing to what he saw. And took him up there so he could see a lot of things. And in our society today, I think that one of the big windows that Satan uses is our eyes. You know, the internet, the television, the movie theater, and just on and on and on and on. I remember reading an account about Dawson Trotman about there was a billboard on the way back and forth to work that he had to ride his motorcycle by every day. And it had a rather provocative scene on it in terms of a woman. And he had to make up his mind what he was going to do about that billboard, whether he was going to look at that billboard and lust every day as he went by. And he made the decision that he wouldn't even look. And that's kind of what we have to do, guys, in terms of the things that show up in our lives in terms of areas of temptation. And here it wasn't about women, but here it was about power and about the kingdom and about the world. And Satan was making that offer to him.
Could I just interject something real quick? I put this to memory, but Luke 11:36, where it talks about the lampstand.
Mm-hmm.
I would like the lampstand. And then it speaks of the eyes as the portal to the soul. And
right.
It illuminates us. And
right.
It can be dark or it can be light.
Right.
That is exactly what it means.
That's right. Thank you. Thank you for that thought. Luke 11:36. And then the last one of the three of Satan's strategy there is verses 5 and 6. "The devil took him into the holy temple and said to him, 'Stand on the pinnacle of the temple.' And he said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, He will command His angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.'" And so he appealed to his position, or if you will, his pride, in terms of who he is and who he was. And there's Satan quoting Scripture. Misquoting Scripture, actually.
Just like with Eve,
little twist there on it. Left part of it out. Thank you. That's right. Exactly. And John sums those three up very, very nicely in 1 John 2:15 and 16. "Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world," and here they are, "the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world." And that's the reason I put them in that order, is because 1 John 2:15 and 16 really sums that up in terms of the areas that Satan reaches out to us to attack us. 1 John 2:15 and 16. And then our defense, and I'm just going to give you the references there because there's some other things I want to be sure we get to in the workshop. Under our defense, his defense, of course, was the Word of God in every case. For the first attack, it was verse 4, where he quoted from Deuteronomy 8:3. And for the second attack, it was verse 10, the order that we listed them in there. It was verse 10, where he quoted from Deuteronomy 6:13 and 10:12. And for the last attack, it was verse 7, which is Deuteronomy 6:16. So every time Satan came against him and hammered him. Jesus' response was with the Word of God. And I don't know about you, but somehow I just don't think that I'm more capable of dealing with Satan's attacks than Jesus is. I'm just not that presumptuous. On memorizing a verse, these are not my own. These are ideas that I've pulled together and collected from other things. Some of you may have the same things. I think it's really important to note the verse in context. Our church is using an evangelism tool right now that's been developed and written by some folks. And one of the verses in it is so hugely pulled out of context that whenever I go through the training, I'm going to have some additional supplementary verses because it just won't work. It just doesn't fit. And the pastor and I have talked about it, and he agrees, you know, that the context of the verse is not at all what they're using the verse for in the presentation. And so we have to be careful about that. And it's not Revelation 3:20 either. It's worse than that. So we need to note the verse in context as we memorize. And then it helps to memorize a phrase at a time and then link the phrases together as you get the verse solidified. And just work through it. You can work through the natural breaks in the verse or where the punctuation is or however it fits for you. And see here is what Fred brought up a while ago. We need to insist on word perfection. Because when Satan quoted to Jesus from Psalm 91, 11 and 12, he did not use word perfection. Of course, that was on purpose, I'm sure. Because this is what the whole passage says. For he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up on their hands that you do not strike your foot against a stone. And he purposely left out the phrase, to guard you in all your ways. Because if that be the case, then he would be guarded against the attack that he was experiencing in that case. So we really have to be careful about misquoting Scripture. And so that's one of the reasons that I think word perfection is really important. And whoever you're working with, and whenever you're doing your own Scripture memory, work hard at word perfection. In whatever translation it is that you're using, work hard at word perfection. Yes.
How do you feel about switching from one translation to the next?
Well, I don't do that, but I've seen Gene Ward stand and quote the same verse in six translations.
Genius IQ.
I've seen him do it. Yeah. But I don't do it. I stick with one. But I know lots of folks that memorize certain select verses because they like what it says in different translations. So I see it done. And then the next one here is to quote the reference fore and aft. Of all the things that I hear people talk about concerning Scripture memory, that's the toughest one, is being able to say where it's found. And I'm guilty too. You know, there are times that there's a verse that I know the gist of it at least. It may not be one that I memorized, but I can't put my finger on it. Of course, the solution to that is a good concordance, or whether it's electronic concordance or whether it's a paper concordance. If you know just a few words in the verse and you have a concordance that matches the translation that you remember, you can find it. But in the middle of a situation where you may need to use the verse, you don't have that luxury. So work on the reference. Make sure that you work on that reference fore and aft. And then it helps to say the verse out loud. It's amazing how different the verse sounds in our mind as opposed to our ears hearing our own voice. It's just amazing. So work on it out loud. And then another thing that I think really helps is to pray through the verse. And that's something that we've done at this conference, is praying through Scripture. And you can use that in your scripture memory. One of the things I have begun more and more to try to do is to use the scripture that I memorized in praying for people. Colossians 1:10, for example, is a verse that I really like to pray for believers. Trying to think what it says. I may have to. So that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Those are things I'd want to happen in the life of any believer. So I've got friends that I've known over the years, some of which I'm not in regular contact, but I pray that verse for them, that they'd walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God.
What was that reference again?
Colossians 1:10. And all of us probably know of people who, in their marriage, they're struggling. And one of the things that usually needs to happen in that situation is forgiveness. In fact, there's a pretty close member in our family right now. One of the verses that I'm praying for that couple is Colossians 3:13. Bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Nobody will ever be called upon to forgive someone else more than Jesus forgave us of. Nobody. So that's a verse that I pray quite often in that situation. There's a lady that I know right now. Her husband and I are very good friends, and he's a Christian worker. And his wife is going through a period of depression. And several years ago, I heard Skip Gray share how when his wife, Buzzy, and they were living in Central America, was under a satanic attack, and she was depressed. And they tried everything and nothing worked. And Skip's testimony, it wasn't until he began to pray, Romans 15:13, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." And over the years, since I've heard Skip share that verse, as I've encountered people that are depressed, I've prayed that verse. My wife is one of those people that I've prayed that verse for. And it's amazing to see, to watch what God does when we begin to pray His Word back to Him. And so that's one of the things that I think Scripture memory is really, really helpful for couples. One of the verses that I pray for the couples in our family, and I'm talking about our extended family, and my wife's brothers and sisters, and all of them are old enough to have married kids, and they have mates and children and all, is Ephesians 6:33. "Nevertheless, let each one of you live..." 6:33. I didn't get enough sleep last night. I'm glad I looked it up. Ephesians 5:33. "Nevertheless, let each individual among you also love his own wife, even as himself. And let the wife see to it that she respect her husband."
Amen.
You know, those are the two key ingredients. Those are the two key ingredients in the marriage. The only thing that the Scriptures commands the husband to do is to love his wife. Or the primary thing. And then the wife to respect her husband. If those two things are working in the marriage, most things are going to be working. Okay? Most everything's going to be working.
What was your reference on forgiveness?
Colossians 3:13. And so, those are just some examples of verses that I use to pray for people. And in my prayer journal, one of the things I've done in organizing my prayer journal is have verses to pray for people. And right now, all except one are verses that I've memorized. And that just makes it easier. You don't have to have them written out there in your prayer journal, or don't have to look them up as you pray them. So that makes it go a little better. G here on this practical suggestions is to practice the acrostic acquired Now, this comes out of one of the old topical memory system books. I can't remember which one. But the acrostic acquired stands for at one sitting, correctly quoted, unassisted, including reference, eliminating doubt. One of the, I remember hearing one of the guys at Marquita Strader's memorial service give testimony about how as they would work through the 2-7, one of the requirements was that you would quote all 60 verses in the topical memory system at one sitting. And I can remember hearing him talk about being in the courtyard at their church with Marquita and her holding him strictly accountable, word for word, reference and all, for every single one of the 60 verses. Now, that's what we're talking about in terms of at one sitting, but it doesn't have to be 60 verses, it can just be one. And unassisted means you don't peek at your verse card. Okay? You don't peek at your verse card to get started. You know the verse. One of the things that really helped me when I met John Crawford and he began to help me with Scripture memory. And I never had anybody do this with me before, and I can't remember anybody doing it since. He was beginning to help me with reclaiming some back verses and getting back on track on Scripture memory, and he handed me a pack of verses. Now, you have to understand, he had reviewed them recently and had worked on them. But he went through the pack of verses, and it was 20 or more, quoting every reference and every Scripture in order without any prompting. And John was 70 years old when he did that. 70 years old when he did it. So, don't cheat. Don't cheat. Okay? When you're working on your Scripture memory, memorize. Don't read. Memorize. And then on the back side here are some tips that I think that will promote Scripture memory. And I'll try to get through this.
What's eliminating doubt?
Eliminating doubt about whether or not you really know what it says. So being certain of what it says, that you're, well, does it say, is it shall or is it will, or, you know, being sure about what it says, all the words in the verse. Select new verses from sermon notes or your own reading and study. And in recent years, what I've done is I've taken my verse pack and I carry a couple of blank verse cards in there and I write down on the verse card verses that I hear guys in a sermon or if I'm reading and there's a verse that really strikes me, I write it down on my future memory card. And I've got enough here to keep me busy for a while, but I work through them methodically and I'll talk about how I choose the ones I'm going to memorize in a minute. But to have some way that you do that, that you keep a log of verses that's for some reason have gotten your attention. And by the time you get around to memorizing it, you may wonder why you ever wrote it down. But that's okay. I mean, there's plenty of verses out there. You won't have to worry about that.
There'll be more.
That's right. And then the next thing is to pray over your selection of verses as you memorize them. And that's what I do. You know, I read the verse and think about it and decide, now, is this a verse that God really needs for me to memorize right now? And usually there's more than I can get to. So I kind of have to prioritize. And so I think that helps. And then to begin working on your regular Scripture memory early in the day. We talked about that earlier in the workshop. Now, let me say that you may be a Westerner or an Easterner in terms of when your day begins. To the Jew, the day begins at sunset. So for those of you people who are evening people, your day may begin at sunset, and that may be the best time for you to work on your Scripture memory. And for those of you that are Westerners, it may be early in the morning is the best time to work on your Scripture memory. But whenever your mind's the best is what I'd recommend. And make sure it's a time that you can keep, that you can carve it out and keep it. When our children were growing up, the only way I could be certain that I'd have a quiet time every day was to get up before they did. That was the only way.
And all the
And so that can be hard. But But pick out a time that you can do that. And then carry your verse pack with you all the time. A lot of times you'll have some time on your hands that you don't expect to have. I always take my Bible and my Sunday school preparation material and my verse pack when I go to the doctor's office. Because I know I'm going to be there a while. You know, the doctor I see at least. I know I'm going to be there a while. And so I take that with me and I try to redeem the time there doing either whichever one I've done. If it's one of those days that I met a guy early in the morning and I didn't actually get my verses done that morning, then I work on my verses first. And I've got both of them there with me. And then make use of spare moments to review. I did that better when I was younger, but I still think that's a good practice, to make use of the spare moments that we have to review. If I lived in a large metropolitan area, I would probably keep my verse pack with me, especially when I was driving, because some of those lights are awfully long. And you can have your verse up there where you can still see the light out of your peripheral vision and know when it's time to go. Just make sure the other guys have stopped if you've been reading.
Mike, what's changed since you were younger? Why did you say that?
Well, the job that I'm in right now is pretty demanding in terms of my time. There's not much free time in terms of doing that. And then another thing is to finish your daily review by bedtime. That just makes sense if you're going to get through it every day. And then in G there, quote the new verses you've learned by Saturday night. That probably should say the end of the week, because you may end your week on Sunday night, or it may be on Saturday night. Depends on how your week goes. And then work at developing day-to-day consistency. If you miss a day this week, it's awfully easy to miss a day next week or 2 days. And before long, you're missing half the days of the week or more. So it's just one of those things that you're going to have to make up your mind as to how important it is to you, where it fits on the priority list in terms of getting things done. And then meet weekly with a Scripture Memory Accountability Partner. I cannot overemphasize the importance of doing that. And you can have people review you. It wouldn't be your accountability partner, but you can have people review you who may not even know the Lord. I mean, they can read, and you give them the verse back, and they read, and you quote, and they can help you. So it doesn't, you know, if you're not able to meet your accountability partner, or if you hadn't developed one yet, anybody can check you out on verses that can read. And then apply the verses you've memorized to your life. Apply the verses you've memorized to your life. And that'll happen. If you have any kind of sensitivity to the Holy Spirit at all, and you're memorizing the Scripture, that's going to happen. It will happen that you'll be applying those verses to your life. Now, Ken asked me a while ago if there was going to be a time for question and answers, and I assured him there would be. So if you guys have questions, I don't promise to know the answer, but I'll take the question. Yes, sir?
I guess I don't completely understand what the topical memory system is, what it means.
Okay.
I thought maybe that's what you were going to be teaching here. Could you discuss that a little
bit? All right, the topical memory system, the current topical memory system, there's two of them, actually. There's one of them called Life Issues, and there's one of them that's just called the topical memory system. And I would recommend the one that's topics are organized. There's A, B, C, D, E, and then under each one of those, there's 12 verses with 6 subtopics, 2 verses on each subtopic. That's the topical memory system. It's on the back side of the card so that he has that as a prompt as to what the verse he's going to review. Doesn't mean he doesn't quote it for an F, but he just uses that. Yes, Ken.
Yeah, thanks. A couple of questions. First of all, I'm interested in how you go about selecting verses other than I like what you said about, you know, praying for the verses. But obviously, there's very few verses that I can think of in the entire Bible, you know, that aren't worth memorizing.
Right.
Maybe some of the genealogy lists or something.
Right. Right.
But the rest of them are pretty doggone useful in lots
right.
of circumstances. So. To me, selection is important, and the other thing that's important is, you know, what's a realistic goal to shoot for? My memory and my capability of absorbing information isn't any larger than yours, and so is, I've heard you say 60, 120, 150. What's the good goal?
Okay, let me. What was the first question?
How you choose your
brother. How I choose. Okay, one at a time. All right. Billy reaches out and grabs me. Those are ones that I usually write down and make sure I memorize. And sometimes when I'm doing Bible study, there's a verse. And in your quiet time.
So you wait for them to come to you?
Pretty much. If you're watching for them, they'll come faster than you can memorize. Okay, that's not a problem. That's not a problem. With Jim Downing, earlier today, he may not have said it, but he said, but what I do say is this, that 100 well-chosen verses will meet 99% of the situations you ever need one for.
That's a great answer.
So, I need to give you some...
All right, Candy.
All right.